said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So verse 10 tells us that Nicodemus was a master of Israel. Verse 1 tells us he was a ruler of the Jews. So Nicodemus was a very religious man, but Nicodemus was not saved. Now he looked at Jesus and he saw there was a difference in Jesus. And you can see it around today. There is a difference in people who are truly born again. And so people would see Jesus and they would say, something is different about this man. And sometimes they said, this man speaks with authority, not as the scribes. Jesus didn't just go around quoting other people. Jesus gave them authority. He gave them scripture. And we must base our lives on scripture, on thus saith the Lord. It'll bring a change into our lives, not just an outward change, but an inward change that will affect the outward as well. So he's a ruler of the Jews, verse 1. In verse 2, he comes to Jesus by night. Now, a lot of times when it comes to spiritual things, people are timid or they're a little afraid because they're afraid people will laugh at them. And it was no different with Nicodemus. I know sometimes young people say when they're in school, well, it's hard to serve God in school. But when I get out, then I'll serve God. I remember having the same thoughts when I was in school. I thought, you know, this is tough. There's all this peer pressure. But I thought, you know what? When I get away from all these people, these young people, then it'll be easier to serve God. But what I found was it's only harder. When you get out in the working world, sins only become multiplied. You know, sometimes young people may secretly drink some alcohol and their folks not know it, or they may secretly smoke or whatever. But you know what? When you get in the working world, they don't even try to make it secret anymore. I mean, and the sins only get multiplied and they only get worse. And so Nicodemus here, he's a grown man. Nicodemus, in our day, would have no doubt had a doctor's degree in the law. I mean, he had been to schooling as a child. He had been to schooling as an adult. He had his degrees, but something was still missing in his life. And so he comes secretly. He doesn't want his co-workers. He doesn't want his fellow professors knowing that he's coming to Jesus. He wants to keep kind of incognito. He wants to kind of do it where no one sees him, so he comes at night. But he's amazed at the miracles that God can do, the changes that he can do in lives. But you notice in verse 3 that Jesus kind of just skips over all that. He goes to the greatest miracle, and that is a changed heart, a changed life. It's salvation. He tells him in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. To be born again. There's all kinds of religions in this world. But you know what? None of them have leaders whose tombs are empty, if they know where their tombs are. Jesus is the only one who has risen from the grave in victory. And so Nicodemus doesn't understand this. What do you mean, born again? Verse 4, Nicodemus saith to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's saying, Jesus, wait a minute. I'm a grown man. I've been through school. I've been through graduate work. I'm kind of big. I'm a little old to go back into my mother's womb. What do you mean, be born again? Born again. Verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, some religions teach that baptism washes away sins. And so some religions come to this verse here. Jesus said, except you're born of water and of the Spirit, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Well, this is not talking about baptism. Water cannot wash away our sins. Water can't even wash grease off our hands. It takes something more powerful. It takes some soap, some degreaser of some sort. Water cannot wash our sin and our guilt away. Only Jesus' blood can do that. But I want you to notice there in verse 6 that Jesus interprets what he meant. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. So we are born in water. I mean physically born in water. That's what Jesus was saying. He is saying unless you're born physically and unless you're born spiritually, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And you may say, well, I don't quite understand this. I'm born physically. Why do I need to be born spiritually? Now remember, this man, once again, would have had his doctor's degree in the law. This man should have known what Jesus was talking about, but he didn't seem to. If you'll notice with me in Genesis chapter 3, this is something that Nicodemus would have taught through many times, Genesis chapter 3. But there was something here he missed. Religious? Yes. Years and years of religious training. But he was lost. He did not yet know that people are lost spiritually. They're dead spiritually and they must be born again. Before we read chapter 3, look at chapter 2, Genesis 2 and verse 16. Genesis 2, 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest what? Freely eat. Every tree. Adam, every tree that you see here you can freely eat. But, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt what? Not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt what? Surely die. Now God said, in the day you eat of this tree, you'll die. That's important. And that's what goes back to the authority of God's word. Every word in the Bible. God said, if you eat of this tree that day, you're going to die. Well, look in chapter 3. Satan comes along in the form of a serpent. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, so far, isn't that what God said? Verse 2:16, compare 3:1 with 2:16. In 2:16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of what? Every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Genesis 3:1, Satan says, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Is he not speaking the truth thus far? And that's how Satan deceives people. He takes a little truth, but he leaves off the most important thing. And that's 2:17. In 2:16, God said, Yes, you may eat of every tree, but, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And now if you go back to Genesis 3:1, in the middle of the verse, the serpent says, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. But notice he leaves off verse 17. He leaves it right there. He didn't tell Eve the most important thing. God said, if you do eat of this one tree, that day you're going to die. So Eve says in verse 2 of chapter 3, And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, what? Ye shall not surely die. Contradicting verse 17. Contradicting 2:17. God says, if you eat of this one particular tree in that day, you're going to die. The serpent conveniently leaves off that verse. And then when Eve brings it up, of course, she added a little to it that they couldn't even touch the fruit. But when she brings that up, Satan flat out denies that that applies, that it's even true. He says, ye shall not surely die. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as what? Gods, knowing good and evil. Satan denies what God has said and then puts forth a false promise to Eve. Eve, if you will eat of this, you'll be like gods. You'll be like gods. And that's what Satan contradicts, denies what God clearly says, and then he offers you some false promises. Oh, the world offers us false promises. The world offers, if you will drink this liquor, man, you'll really live. If you'll smoke this tobacco, if you'll use these drugs, man, you'll have a feeling that you'll never have any other way. But in John 10:10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I, Jesus, am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The world tries to entice us with different things to make us think if we go their way, we'll have fun. But that's not so. It's the way of death. So in Genesis 3 and verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. You notice they didn't immediately close their eyes in death. They didn't die physically. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. For the first time in their lives, Adam and Eve, they felt uncomfortable around each other. This was the first marriage. And for the first time in their lives, they felt uncomfortable around each other, because they had sinned. They had sinned, and now it hurt their relationships. And you don't have to live very long to realize that when we sin, we don't make better relationships with each other. We drive wedges into our relationships. When we sin, we can't get along. When we sin, we can't get along with our parents, even though the Bible says to children, obey your parents, honor your parents in Ephesians 6. When we sin, we don't get along. When we sin, we can't get along as brothers and sisters. When we sin, we can't get along as husbands and wives. Sin always drives a wedge, and yet the world makes it out that those are really the happy people. But not so. We see right here, Adam and Eve were uncomfortable around each other for the first time in their marriage. And so, verse 9. Well, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, what? Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord is calling to us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's saying, come, and what's the world saying? Don't go that way. That's the way where you can't do anything. Okay. World, what can you do that I want to do? What can you do that will help me? What can you cause me to do that will help me to have better relationships with other people? What can you do to help me to have peace at night when I lay my head down on the pillow? Nothing. What can you do, world, to help me to save my money, not blow it? When you go to the gas station and see the cost of a pack of cigarettes, some of those cigarettes are $7 and something a pack. Well, I think gasoline is terrible at 280. But at least that takes me somewhere. Where does a cigarette take me? Nowhere. It makes a cloud, but I can't even get on the cloud and ride it anywhere. It vanishes. It's gone. $7 vanish in the air. That's what the world does. It offers us these enticements, but it doesn't fulfill. I mean, Maybe some of you do like cotton candy, but I was going to compare smoking to cotton candy. Maybe that's not fair, but cotton candy just kind of melts away, you know. And I don't know how good you feel after you eat it. I've kind of had to stay away from the sugar for some years, but it just kind of melts in your mouth, you know, and it's gone. That's what the world's enticements, they just kind of melt in your mouth and they're gone. But how do they leave you feeling? I used to work with my brothers and my dad and one of my grandfathers in construction, and my grandpa would always take more home cooked foods in his lunch pail, you know, like maybe he'd have a little thing of canned pears in his lunch pail, and we would have Twinkies and Little Debbie snack cakes, and you know, I mean, we had a list, and he would make comments about, you know, that stuff's gonna kill you, you know. And he lived to be 90 some, so I guess he did okay on his food. I don't know. I haven't quite made 90 some yet, but the world offers us these enticements, and oh, they may seem so sweet in our mouth, but they just melt away and we're left empty. You know, I should have known as a young man that he kind of had a point, because when you work in construction, you work hard. And, you know, especially we've been through a hot summer this year. And, you know, when you eat junk food, you kind of feel it. You know, when you're working hard, it really doesn't give you the energy that you need or the sustained feeling that you need, you know, to work hard. And so Nicodemus here, Jesus talking to him, referring to something in the book of Genesis that he has no clue. He's saying, "What do you mean, Jesus, I need to be born again?" Well, Nicodemus, how many years have you taught Sunday school, Nicodemus? Nicodemus, you mean to tell me that you don't understand you need to be born again? You're confusing this with being born physically? Nicodemus, how many years have you taught Sunday school? Nicodemus, how many years have you taught in church? You don't understand you need to be born again? Well, what is it? They didn't die physically this day. God hands down punishments to them. Eve's punishment would be that she would have pain in childbearing. Adam's punishment would be that he would have to work hard for a living. In verse 17, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shalt bring forth to thee." Verse 19, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground." So labor became hard. And that's all the fruits of sin. It made life hard. We look forward to precious little babies being born. But there's a time of travail and pain for the mother. And we don't look forward to that. We look forward to joy with a new little precious baby. And so when we think about sin, sin offers enticements that it really can't fulfill. It's emptiness. And it offers so much pain and travail. Our lives are so hard because of what they did. So back in John chapter 3, Adam and Eve didn't die physically that day. They died spiritually. God spoke the truth. He says, "In the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die." They did die spiritually that day. And that's why they needed to be born again. We've all been born physically, but we all must be born spiritually. We must be born again. And that's what Jesus was explaining to him. And then in John 3, verse 8, he says to Nicodemus, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you can't see inside of a person. Now, Brother Peterson this week had open heart surgery, had a triple bypass, had a new heart valve replacement. And praise God, he's just thus far just a miraculous recovery. Praise God. It looked very bleak. The surgeon was very, very blunt. And just, I mean, the whole family was in tears before surgery because he came in and just laid it right out. It just doesn't look that good. It's very risky. And that's what sin does. But Jesus, you know, we can't see now. I went in to see Brother Peterson after the surgery. I couldn't see all the new changes. I mean, the doctors didn't install a piece of plexiglass on his chest where I can see, wow, look at those new arteries. Good job, doctors. And, you know, they didn't install a little window on his heart and say, wow, look at that new valve. Boy, that thing will probably go another 200,000 miles, you know. That, I mean, you know, sometimes in cars, like race cars, you know, they put a lot of chrome and they like to pop their hoods. On our cars, we probably don't like to pop our hoods. It's probably oily and dirty, but they keep theirs clean. But we can't see inside of each other. We can't see each other's hearts. All we can see is what shows on the outside. And so Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, this is something on the inside. That all you can see is, well, like the wind here. He says, you can't see the wind. But you can see what the wind does. You can't see my heart. I can't see yours. You know, when we get born again, when we get saved, God doesn't stamp our forehead, you know, saved or born again. So how do you know? How does it show? That's what he said, verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. We can't see the wind, but we can see what the wind does. Out there right now, today, I imagine we're going to lose a lot more leaves today. You can't see the wind that is hitting that tree, but you can see what it's doing. It's causing what? The old leaves to fall. The old leaves come off. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's the same with us. When there's a change in our hearts, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can't see each other's new hearts, but we can see what the wind is doing in our lives. We can see there's a change. Now, I hear there's a cold front coming. And when those hit, you go outside and you feel the change. It's come. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be what? In Christ. Okay, we can't see each other's hearts. We don't know. We can't see the heart. But if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are what? Become new. We had a funeral this week. Mrs. Bond is with the Lord. Some things pass away. Old things pass away, but behold, all things become new then in our lives. So when we get saved, some old things are going to pass away. They're going to perish. They're going to change in our lives. So people are not going to be able to see our hearts, but they're going to be able to see, you know what? Things are starting to change outwardly. The wind is blowing in a new direction. There must be a change that happened in Mike's life. Something is different about him. At the funeral luncheon, there was a lady who came up to me and she said, was your locker next to mine in school? I don't know. I didn't know who she was. And she said her name, and I just vaguely remembered that name, but I guess I'm kind of sorry when it comes to memory. I don't remember too good. But she said, yeah, my locker was just down a few lockers from yours. And she said, my name was Augustine, and yours is Austin, so they did them by alphabetical order, so our lockers were always close by each other, and I just didn't know. I didn't know. So things become new. Old things pass away, and I'm sure she said when she must have seen my name in the paper that I was going to be doing the funeral, and she says, just to make sure it was the same person, she said, I looked up in my yearbooks. And she said, I saw your name, and that was you. And, well, I couldn't go home from the funeral and look up her name because I threw all my yearbooks away. You know why? Because I was ashamed of the way I looked. I didn't look like a Christian. And so there are some times when I wish I could go back and look up people to find out, but I can't. I can't because of my own sin. I didn't want my children to grow up thumbing through all my yearbooks and say, "Dad, is that you?" I didn't want to face that, so I threw them all away. I threw them all away. I hope they never put all that out online. Maybe I shouldn't even bring that up. Maybe someone will get that brilliant idea to put all those pictures out by years out online, but I don't want my picture out there. I don't. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm sure that when she looked in that yearbook, and then when she saw me at the funeral, she noticed some changes, not only in the color of my hair, but some other changes. And so obviously she knew something had worked in my heart and life. And you know, that's the way. She can't see my heart, but she can see how God has moved and changed in my life from when I was a teenager. She can see a change. And that should be true with all of us when we get born again. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And in this age of what we call contemporary Christianity, there's not much change going on. And we need to realize that is not biblical. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. What does God want? And how do we know what God wants? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. There came a point in my life when I said to the Lord, "Lord, there's got to be more to life than this. What do you want me to do?" In Romans 12, verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye what? Present." Present what? "Your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to" who? "Unto God." Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. My friends, we are living in a day and age where people are not taught that, and they don't want to do that. That we should present our bodies to God. God, I am offering myself to you. How do you want to use me in my life? And of course, this can only come after we are born again, after we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 2, "And be not conformed to" what? "This world." I was told that when the Gibson refrigerator plant was still going, that they vacuumed formed those insides of the refrigerators that were formed out of plastic, and that they would take a sheet of plastic and heat it up and then just suck it by vacuum into a mold when they got it to a certain temperature where it would form to the shape of an interior of a refrigerator. And then it was one piece, easy to clean. And God wants us not to be vacuum sucked into the image and form of the world, but to be like Christ. And so, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye" what? "Transformed by the renewing of your mind." On many things you have transformers, like on your cell phone. There's probably either built in or when you plug it in, there's a little box of some sort. It isn't just a plug-in like a lamp. Almost every electronic gadget will have a transformer. It's transforming a lot of power down into something usable to recharge your phone or your camera or whatever. And listen, God is a holy God. In Matthew 5:48, he says, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." If we saw God in all of his glory, we would die. Moses, Elijah. When Moses came down from the mountain, his face glowed, and the other people couldn't even stand to look at him. He had to put a veil over his face. In Elijah, God told Elijah, you can't see all my glory. You can only see my back parts when I pass by. And 1 Timothy tells us that God dwells in a light which no man can approach unto. If we saw God in his holiness, we would just kind of melt, you know, in his glory. And yet God wants us to be like him. Well, so we need to be transformed. How do we get the power of God to our lives when we are so frail and so weak and so sinful? It's through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood being shed on the cross for our sins, and then reading his words. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. We can prove that. How? Through the Bible. It doesn't have to be like, well, I think God wants me to do this, or I think I'm saved. There's a lot of people that say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. I think I'm saved. Notice in 1 John chapter 5, God left us his sure word. When we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not a think so salvation. It's a know so. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. 1 John 5, 11. And this is the what? The record. If you go to get your driver's license the first time, you need a record. You can't just appear there and say, hi, I'm me. And they'll say, well, prove it. Well, I'm here. Well, prove who you are. You have to have a birth certificate with the official stamp in it. We just got a letter back from, I think it was one of the African nations, and for our Bible courses, we give out Bible certificates when they're done. And the man wrote in and said, please, mine wasn't stamped. He was talking about if you get an official diploma from a school or a degree from a college or an official birth certificate has to be stamped with an embossed stamp. And this guy was saying, please, you know, mine wasn't stamped. My certificate came through, but it didn't have the official stamp on it. I mean, he is taking this very serious, you understand? Well, verse 11, this is the record that God hath given to us, what? Eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath what? Life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Notice verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have what? Eternal life. Read that again. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. In closing, let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10. So Nicodemus, he is a religious man. Maybe he grew up in synagogues. But now he's a college, he's a graduate degree graduate. But he's still not saved. He still doesn't know what it means to be born again. In Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, who? The Lord Jesus, and it's only him. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe, where? In thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the what? Heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the what? Mouth, confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall what? Not be ashamed. It's a decision in our hearts that we confess with our mouths. Why? Because we're not ashamed of the Lord. We are not ashamed. When we receive him as our Savior, we don't walk around trying to hide it. It's not like, as the Bible says, putting a candle under a bushel. It's like putting it on a candlestick. We want all to see. We're not ashamed of him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. It doesn't start a process of salvation. Whoever calls shall be saved. Period. The transaction is over. It's done. We have been redeemed through his precious blood. So think about that. Nicodemus, a man, don't know how old he was, but he was religious, but he wasn't saved. And later on, we'll see, when Jesus dies on that cross, Nicodemus will be one of the men that will come and take care of his body. He has received the Lord. Now he understands what it means to be born again. I was born physically, but because of my sin, I'm dead spiritually. And to get born again, I need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to my soul. And then I just must call upon him. I must turn from my sin. It's called repentance. It's a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we turn from our sin to him. He gives us a new life on the inside. And all things pass away, shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. I pray, Lord, that if there are any here this morning that are not yet born again, I pray today they would come, that they would not be ashamed and would say, well, maybe they would say, I've been religious, but I understand this morning that I'm not born again and that I need to be saved. I need to place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that when we do that, that old things pass away. You change our lives. You give meaning to our lives. Please work in our hearts now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, if you would, please.